Blog Talk Radio.
PRF Table, the weekly radio show of the PRF Ministry, and I'm Brother Dunlap, one of your hosts here at the PRF Table. Also sitting at the table with us is Sister Mary Ann Williams. Mama, say hello to the people.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, my PRF family. I've taken off my shoes, and we're back, and I am ready to hear what's going to be said tonight. So I am excited. And I want you all to be excited, too, because it's just exciting to learn something new and just be able to just come on the line and talk about it. If you have an opinion, hey, we want to hear what you have to say because it can bless somebody. So we're just going to enjoy the show. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, I don't need to say anything more. I just need to go ahead and get right into the show. We have a couple other hosts of this show, Mama, as you know, for those who may have just be joining us for the first time or have never joined us in a while, haven't joined us for the 2015.
Okay.
We have also Adia Sanders, who is a host of this show along with us.
Yeah.
We also have Shatara Sherwood, who is a host along with us, and also Warren Feaster. So momentarily, they will be taking their places at the table. Let me tell you what we're talking about tonight. Tonight, we're talking about sowing and reaping, and this is part two. Back in January, we were led to just start with one topic, introduce it, converse it, debate it, dialogue, and grow together with it for a whole month. That seemed to be the direction, and I'm confident that is the direction that God wanted us to go with throughout this year. So we have one topic. We'll talk about it for a whole month where we really can just dig deep down into the topic and let God do what God wants to do, say what he wants to say, and use us how he wants to use us. Last week, we discussed some thoughts for the minister, and we had some thoughts also for the individual. And, Mama, we talked more about sowing into self and
yeah.
how some people are unable to sow into themselves the way we, and I say that in parentheses or quotation marks, how we see it because of what we've been sown or what we've come to light or revelation with or how we were brought up, and it has probably been sown into us. And one of the things that really just struck me last week was that we have to be really, really careful as we engage with other folks, as we condemn other folks, as we judge other folks, with how they are not growing, how they're not learning, for them sowing, to get specific with the topic for tonight, how they've sown into something that was not good, how they've sown into some individuals that was not good for them, how they've sown into some things that they thought was God and was not of God. We have to be careful with that mindset because we weren't always at the place where we're at, and some of us are not where we need to be, and some of us have fallen back. So we are just going to be real careful as we deal with this topic. I think, Mama, from last week's show, that this
yeah.
is one of those topics that some people really don't want us talking about. Because when you start dealing with it like we were dealing with it, and for those who were not on the show, you know, Shatara started off last week with our show saying something to the effect that you can sow a seed, but it doesn't mean that it's definitely going to come back to you, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an interesting point when I heard her say it, because if it's all about what I sow, and all about what I reap, to whose benefit does that really speak to?
Mm-hmm.
If it's about what I sow and it's about what I reap, then it's only talking about what's to benefit me. It speaks to me as the individual. And I know that one of our overarching themes for this series that we're dealing with is sowing into yourself. We had sowing into yourself, sowing into others, and then sowing into the things of God. Those three things we should be tap dancing on and hitting hard all throughout this month. But that's where we were last week. So I want to make it clear to everybody that's listening that I'm not talking about sowing into yourself for the sake of you solely sowing into yourself as an individual. There's a greater purpose when somebody sows. And can we back this up with Scripture? Absolutely. This is where we talked about last week from John chapter 4, verse 34 to 38, where the Apostle Paul talked about, where John talked about reaping what others have sown. That's what he wrote, but the words came from Jesus. So we have to be careful as we deal with these many references that we have on sowing, the ones that we have on reaping, the ones that we have on sowing and reaping, especially those of us who are practitioners of God's word. We got to be careful not to present this one-sided view of this principle or these principles that's been given to us by God. It would be, and I'll let you jump in here, Mama, it would be accurate to say that there are times when we should sow.
Mm-hmm.
There's times when we should reap. But there's also times when we should harvest.
Yes.
And we didn't talk about harvesting a lot last week, but I think that's what we're really going to get into it tonight. So, Mama, did you have any comments from last week's show or any points that you wanted to start off on the discussion tonight?
Okay. What's on my mind is sowing into myself. And since I've been on this show, I have received, what have been said and applied the part to myself. And so some good seeds have been sowed into me, and I am better. Because, in other words, I say, Scripture say, examine yourself. So I'm in the process of examining myself. But when, you talk about sowing into yourself, then that's really sowing into myself because, Lord, you show me the areas I need to come up in, And he'll guide you and teach you and give you scriptures that's going to help you sow into yourself. And then he has, we that are believers, the body of Christ, we are his spokesman. So he'll lead us to people and to shows such as this one to help us so seeds can be poured into us, because I didn't know anything about a lot of finances, I wasn't brought up someone teaching me financial things, I didn't know anything about credit card and the scoring and, just so much I didn't know. So to me, I sowed into myself by coming on the show listening, and I was blessed even more when you invited me to be the host, and I really accepted, that calling. So, we have to have a teachable spirit. We have to be teachable. It may be some things that we don't understand, and because of the way we were brought up, we reject those things. We have to be open, We have to be open to receive and examine those things that are being said. And if it's not for you, that's good, but at least give it a try. Amen.
Amen. I really think that one thing that I'll pull out from what you said was that is not for everybody.
Yes.
One of the things that I've been challenged over this last week is realizing that everybody's not at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
See, some people, and I don't even want to say superficially, but some people are just at a superficial place in their Christian walk. There are some people that are at a superficial place in their walk with God, and that's okay. See, we have to get to the point or be at the point where you're at, I'm cool with where you're at because I don't know everything that's going on with you.
Right.
So if I'm cool with where you're at, I can't let that deter me from where God wants me to go.
Yes.
See, if all that you've heard in church, Mama, is about sowing and reaping, and we talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 9, for one who sows sparingly also reaps sparingly, the one who sows, goodness, I gracious. But you know the scripture. I'll come back to it.
Uh-huh.
that has been used in a manipulative way, and y'all were talking about it last week, and y'all were attesting to it, that that was something that you heard just during the offering time. Don't hear it no other time coming from the pulpit. But when it's time for offering, there's this scripture coming out right before or right during the time, talking about if you sow sparingly, then you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, then you'll reap bountifully. And I'm very clear and intentional in saying that was not the intent behind the context of the scripture. So the context of the scripture was not about them giving to the church house. It was about them giving to somebody who had needs, specifically the Christians in Jerusalem. And we talked about those references. You can go back and listen. Those who weren't here, you can go back and listen to that. But that's the thing we're talking about. If that's what somebody needs, if all they need to know is I have to sow bountifully so that I can reap bountifully, if that's where a person is at, I can't do anything about that. But I can say, well, if you want to learn something a little bit more than where you're at or what you've been taught, then let me break down what this scripture is talking about. And let me give it to you so you can go read it for yourself, because then it's not what Brother Nate says. It's, you know what, this is what the Word of God says. One of the things that really struck me, which leads up to where we're going to be talking about tonight, is Adia said, and Adia will be on shortly, but she mentioned that sowing should never involve fear. Sowing should never involve fear. And when she said that, I was like, man, that is so deep. And she gave a lot of commentary behind it, and she let God use her. But that's all I got. When she comes on, she can give you more. If I'm sowing out of fear, then what happens when I no longer fear? If I'm going to sow into, and I'll go here to our third overarching theme just for a moment about sowing into the things of God. If I'm sowing out of fear because you're doing it because I stand up and say, if you don't do this, then these are some things that can happen to you. God is not going to bless you. If I come at you like that, and then you sow, what happens when that does not faze you anymore when I say it? This thing about sowing has to be a heart thing as well. And I was very, very clear and intentional of communicating to everybody last week, which I'll do again right now, and say that I'm from the city. So when I go back and think about living on Plymouth Street or living on 68th Ave or living down in North Philly, I can tell you there was hardly no grass for me to even have to push a lawnmower. So when I came down to the South, my skills of being a gardener or my skills of being a laborer in my front yard and backyard was very, very diminished because I didn't grow up with it. And I said last week, if there was a lot of snow, if I was up in Massachusetts right now or up in New York, there would not be any problem with me making sure that the pathway to the front door was clear, that the driveway was clear, that salt was on the ground, because I'm coming from a different context. And I'm saying that just to bring some points back to last week, what we talked about. And one of the thoughts for the minister was, how do we communicate this principle of sowing in a non-agricultural society? When we go back and we look at the scriptures, we can go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels. When we go back and look at them, Matthew 4, Luke 13, I can't quote them all for you, but when you go back and look at them, you'll understand that Jesus was talking to people that had a context of agriculture. So the challenge for me, the challenge for us, the challenge for some of my other pastoral colleagues is, how do we communicate this principle of sowing and reaping? One of the things that we can say is, if Jesus had to communicate this to these young folk, how would he communicate it? It is very kind of unlikely in my mind that Jesus will be communicating to some homeboys standing on a block about, look, man, what you're sowing into and what you can expect to reap is not going to be good for you as you cuss out the cops, as you stand on a corner selling drugs. He would have to come with a way that is going to be beneficial for them to get it in their mind. So that's what we're doing. I had some thoughts that came to my mind, Mama, last week, and one of them was this. Jesus' parables about sowing and reaping were not about material wealth first. They were about spiritual wealth. Jesus' parables about sowing and reaping were not about material wealth first. They were about spiritual wealth. The other thing is this, and you brought this out for me, there must be an expectation of growth.
Mm-hmm.
If not, what's the purpose of planting the seeds in the first place?
Yes.
There must be an expectation of growth. If not, what is the purpose of planting seeds in the first place?
Mm.
We have to have an expectation that when I sow this seed, that there is going to be a harvest that comes from it. But as we said last week, and again, I'm going to keep saying it until we finish this series, everything that you sow, you do not reap.
Yes.
Everything that you sow, you may not be the one to actually reap it. It may be reaped by somebody else. And that's what John was talking about in John chapter 4. The harvest is plenty. The harvest is out there. You're sowing, you're reaping what somebody else sown. And what that says to me is, and we are definitely talking about possession, resources, and finances. What that says to me is the things that I do right now are the things that are going to affect, that has the ability to affect my later on. So let me give you an example. If I sow into myself by making sure that when I get my paycheck, it's not all about paying bills, that I'm putting a portion of it away for myself for later on, for the latter years, because I don't want my children to have to feel obligated to take care of me because I didn't put any money away right now. That doesn't mean I don't go and have vacations every year like we do, but that means that if something comes up that's unexpected, that I just don't say, well, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and take care of this, and then I go on vacation, and then I put that emergency thing on a credit card, and then it takes me 3 years to pay off $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm getting hit with the interest rates, I'm not putting anything away from myself. And then what I've seen, because I've toured in this area for so many years, I've seen where it's become a perpetual cycle, where individuals are more concerned about paying off their debts and paying their bills than to putting something into their self. I could tell you when the Army's Personal Financial Management course first came out, and I had the blessed opportunity to be able to lead that program for years. There were students that came through that course that would say, I don't have, we were talking about life insurance. In the Army, $26 per month will get you $400,000 worth of life insurance. You ain't got to take no exam. You ain't got to take no physical. By virtue of you being in that profession, right? It was $200,000 when I first went in the first time years and years ago. And I would have, now we weren't signing nobody up for no insurance or anything like that. That's something that you do when you first come in, and then you can do it anytime after that. But in having conversations with students after students that didn't have what they said, I don't have anybody to give it to. But the reality is, so many of those soldiers got out of the military. And so many of those soldiers got out of the military, and because they didn't have insurance in the military, they got a rude awakening. What's the rude awakening? The rude awakening was when they got a job on the outside, and then they went to sign up for insurance, they realized, oh, my goodness, it's $26 a month just for
$50,000.
Mm-hmm. So what did they do? They are reaping what they sowed by not sowing into themselves from the beginning.
That's good.
What about the individual who said, look, it's just me. My mom's good, my dad is good, or I don't have a mother, I don't have a father, they're both passed away, it's just me. But what happens when that young man specifically impregnates a young lady? And now that that has occurred, they start thinking different. But what about, and again, I can speak clearly about this, when you don't make preparations before and life events occur, marriage, divorce, birth of a child, the biggest three, that takes away from what you already have, and it makes you make decisions differently than you would if it was just you by yourself. But there's a lot of people that have had children that didn't expect to have children. There's a lot of people out here that had children and didn't expect to have children at the time that the child was conceived. You know what? We're going to have children. We're waiting. You know, husband and wife, we're waiting. We're going to wait 4 years. And then, 3 months after they get married. Now, they didn't have time to save up all that money. So now they have to prepare for what's about to come in 6 more months. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
This thing is serious.
Yes. Yes.
When I did some homework, and I'm pushing y'all to do homework as well, right?
Yes.
But I started looking up reaping because, you know, there's several scriptures that we, a couple that we, you know, we researched and looked at. But when I looked at these instances of reaping in the Bible, this is what I found, and this was so interesting to me. Reaping in some form was mentioned 55 times in the Bible.
Okay.
Jesus mentioned it as a principle. He mentioned this 12 out of 22 times it was in the New Testament. So 22 times we hear, we can read instances, especially with the word reap, not circumstance, but the word reap or some variation of it, reaping, reaper, reapeth, 22 mm-hmm. times in the New Testament. But Jesus talked about it 12, which indicates that it's important to the context of his audience, as I mentioned earlier. But if you go back and look at the scriptures, right, what I'm seeing is that was a prophetic declaration, if you will, that should be easily seen because it should tell us that Jesus was not just, when you go back and read it, you'll see that Jesus was not just talking to them, but he was also putting that out there for us who live today, especially living through him.
Mm-hmm.
So reaping is a principle that is not going away. Reaping was a principle that God placed in the earth back in the Old Testament that Jesus has carried it to a whole different level when we come to the New Testament.
Mm.
Mama,
yes.
What's your comments? And before you do that, if anybody is on the line and are listening and you want to jump into the conversation, we welcome your comments. Just press one on your dial pad and we'll see you light up on the switchboard, and we'll bring you into the conversation. I think it's time to hear from you. You know, what are your experiences? Before you comment, Mama, let me bring on Adia, who just sat down.
Oh, hi there.
Oh, how y'all doing?
That's fine, thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So, I've enjoyed everything thus far, but I must admit that I didn't fully understand on last week, and didn't understand or comprehend when you said that just because you sow doesn't always mean that you're going to reap. And so, just being, I don't know if I want to say the word, was challenged. It challenged me to want to know more. And so I was just like, I wonder which, you know, where in the Bible will support what you said so that I can understand it and see and just, you know, really grasp it. And so when I was looking at Mark chapter 4, where it talks about the parable of the sower or about sowing, I think what really helped me was when Jesus was saying, you know, the sower, you know, some seed fell here on good ground, and some seed fell, you know, and the birds of the air came up. So a seed was sown,
mm-hmm.
but because
mm-hmm.
of the birds and because of the hot, scorching sun, it was either taken away or dried up. And so I think that is a representation of my life, that when I sowed a seed and did not see it come up, that perhaps the bird came and took it, or the sun dried it up. And I'm just using it as, you know, figuratively, but I think it's definitely, it symbolizes what happens in our lives, because we can look at prayers, you know, that have been prayed. I can look at prayers that have been prayed, and maybe that prayer didn't get answered. You know, is it, could it have been perhaps, not that it wasn't God's will, but something, you know what I'm saying, happened to where it did not fall on a good ground. Not, that may not be a good example, but that's just the one that came to mind, you know, to kind of help me and maybe help somebody else that's listening to understand how the sowing and the reaping work. That just because you sow a seed, I mean, I got it now, but just because you sow a seed does not mean that you didn't do what you needed to do. Doesn't, but maybe where you sowed at, it wasn't good ground. Maybe the ground hadn't been broken up. Maybe the ground had not been treated, so it could not receive or hold on or retain the seed that had been planted. And so I just really wanted to share that because I think it goes so well in what you were talking about with reaping, because when you sow a seed, you expect to reap something back from it, and not in all cases do you. Another example I can give is that, you know, right now at work, you know, I was just right now at work, when you're dealing with different personalities, and no matter, sometimes with certain people, no matter how much you can have the love of Jesus just dripping off your lips because of things that they are going through, because of their personal issues and insecurities, you can sow a seed, but that seed may not necessarily take root to reap a harvest because of where that person is, or where an organization is, or where a family member is. And so you're praying and you're believing God, but sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with people and things going on, I'm just seeing now, as my mind is going back to what you said on last week, and again you saying it this week, and now adding in, you know, the reaping part of it, that sometimes the seeds that we sow, for whatever reason, not maybe necessarily anything that we've done wrong, or maybe because, not because I don't have the knowledge, but maybe because of the recipient that represents the ground where we're trying to sow that seed, they just can't receive it because of where they are in their lives. And I think for me, I have to be okay with that, that sometimes seeds that we sow, the birds may take it, or the sun may dry that thing, that bad boy up, or there may be some thorn that will choke it up. And that's what Mark chapter 4 represented in answer for me, to just confirm what you said, because I honestly did not get it. So I just want to say thank you for just, you know, sharing that aspect, because not everything in the gospel or just in the word of God is always going to be good things. You know, to be able to say that you're going to sow a seed and sometimes you're just not going to get a harvest or reap from it, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear that, because they want to know that when they plant a seed somewhere, that something is going to come up. And so I really thank you for just highlighting that, and just for me being able to get the understanding of it.
And one of the things I think is so wonderful that you said was that sometimes, you know, we just don't get it. That's why having these type of dialogues is so critical to your Christian group. So critical. I told you, you've heard me say this before. I posted on Facebook last year. I said, what if I preached the same sermon 2 weeks in a row, and I told you before I did it that that's what I was going to do? Would you still come? I didn't ask this to people who were not believers. I asked this to believers. And a lot of believers said, why would I come hear it again? Because sometimes we just don't get it, okay? Here's what I would say to that ignorance. That ignorance, here's what I say to that. Well, why did Jesus mention it 12 times in the Gospels? Out of 22 times in the New Testament about reaping. And I haven't even gotten on harvesting yet. You see what I'm saying? Or let's go to some of my traditional folks who know that there are some of us, some of my colleagues that and colleagues and members that believe that unless you have put Jesus on a cross, put him in the ground, raised him up on the third day with all power in his hands. Unless you have said that at the end of your sermon, you ain't preached the gospel. Jesus Christ himself didn't do that. Jesus knew what was about to happen to him, but he didn't say that every time he went to minister to somebody. So again, it goes back to sometimes people are just where they're at. And that's not being condemning or putting a spirit of condemnation on anybody. That's just where they're at, and sometimes it just works for folk.
Mm-hmm.
And can I tell you that a friend of mine asked me, I believe it was last May, he said, I'm going on vacation for the month. I would like you to run services for me. No problem, brother. I got you. And I did that. I don't need to say something new every time without understanding or having some type of revelation that you got what I said the first time. I don't take this lightly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take it lightly. And we have to be willing to spend the time with what it is and be able to see if people are getting what's actually being put out there. Adia, one of the things, since you mentioned John chapter 4, starting at verse 35, do you think the work of a harvesting will not begin until the summer ends 4 months from now? Look around you. Vast fields are ripening all around you, all around us, and are ready now for the harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits the planter, the sower, and the harvester alike? You know the saying, one person plants and the other one harvests.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and you will gather the harvest. So Jesus is clearly telling them, look, all you got to go out there to do is to collect the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got to do. Remember last week we were talking how there is so much more emphasis placed on reaping than sowing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll reap this, you'll reap this, you'll reap this. Okay, well, let's deal with it. Let's deal with it. What is, and this is the question, if anybody wants to jump in, please maybe answer this question or give us your thoughts. Well, what is the link between sowing and reaping? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the link between sowing and reaping? There seems to be a misunderstanding from what we've been able to gather in conversations that we've had over these last couple of years of how this principle actually works. Sowing is done on the front end, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Reaping is done on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the harvest is what is actually being produced, yet
yes.
It is less frequently talked about. Don't nobody mention the harvest during offering time. They're talking about hurry up and sow. Make sure you sow, sow good, 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 bountifully, 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 so that you can reap good, 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 bountifully, bountifully, bountifully.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the harvest. Again, I'm not an agricultural guy at all. But here's one thing I do know about a harvest. You can see it.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
You can see it. One of the things about the harvest is you can see it. You can see if the sowing was not done. You can see if sowing was not done right, but you can also see something else going on. There's times when you can sow at the wrong time. There are seasons of when certain things get planted in the fields. What? One fruit that I like is pomegranates. You don't grow pomegranates all year round. There are certain times of the year when you can go to the supermarket and you can see a pomegranate that looks like two grapefruits put together. But if you go right now to the supermarket, try me. That's all I'm going to say to y'all listening. Try me. Go to the supermarket and look and see if there's pomegranates right now. And if you go and you happen to see some pomegranates, look and see how small they are.
Yeah.
Mm. When the summertime comes, go back and look. And I guarantee you they're going to look like two grapefruits, someone that has good pomegranates I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can sow something. Now think about this. Lord is good. Mm. You can grow something, but it doesn't get to its full potential if it's not being kept, if it's not being cultivated the way that it's supposed to be cultivated.
Yeah.
We looked up what the definition of sowing last week, and we talked about the definition of sowing, which was means a plant. It comes from a basement of scattering seed onto a ground, and then harvesting, which was to gather. But this word harvest by itself is the act or the process of gathering a crop. The crop that ripens or gathered in a season. So if the season is not correct, it ain't got nothing to do with the harvest. It got to do when the seed was sown. Somebody's trying to say something. All right, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say, just as you were talking, two things, just listening to you, was the example that Jesus gave with the fig tree. And I'm going to find, I just pulled up, and I wanted to introduce it so I don't forget it. But the example that he gave with the fig tree is the same thing that you're giving with the pomegranate. And so what Jesus was saying to the disciples, you know, because that fig tree, the leaves looked like they should have been, have produced the figs on it, but it didn't. And what did Jesus do? He cursed it. He was like, this fig tree will not grow again because it gave the appearance of it being ready to have produced the harvest of the figs, but yet there were no figs on the tree. And then the other thing, when you were talking earlier about the sowing and the person watering, I think the link, and what this is just what I believe the Lord gave me, the link is where it says in John, he says, if I be lifted up, I think that's the link between the sowing and the reaping, is that in the midst of sowing, we are lifting up the name of Jesus in everything that we're doing, so that the reaping and then the harvest is, he says, I'll draw all men unto me. And so when I think about drawing the men, just like when Jesus was talking to, and I think last week you brought it up about Peter and I want to say Simon, you know, being there, they were fishermen. He said that they would be fishers of men. And so to me, that's that drawing. And so, and when you look at the possessions and the resources and finances, you know, the link that I see is drawing the men, drawing people unto Jesus. He says, if we lift him up, he says that I will draw the men unto me. I will draw exactly what you need in your churches. I will draw people that have the possessions. I will draw people that have the finances, that have the resources. But if we don't understand the link between sowing, reaping, and the harvest to me would be the people that he's bringing to us, the networking and the strategic placements of where we are so that we can impact. And so I'm going to find the scripture so I can put it out there and, you know, if anybody needs the scripture reference. But I wanted to just bring up those two things in reference to the link of sowing, reaping, and also the harvesting, even though we're not there yet. Which is us lifting up the name of Jesus like we're doing now. And he says, I'll draw the people. I will place people in your path that will give you everything that you need. And then, you know, just looking at the fig tree and how things can give the appearance, like the pomegranate. It might look good, you know, if you buy it now, but if you bite into it, it may not taste that good, just like that fig tree represented. So I'm going to pass it back.
Go ahead, Mama, please. I know you've been sitting patiently.
Yes, I'm looking at the definition on harvest, and it's saying first, and you have already spoken on this, but you say the active process of gathering a crop, the first definition. The second definition is the crop that ripens or is gathered in a season, and then the amount on measure of the crop gathered in a season. Could you comment on that for me, please? The amount or measure of the crop gathered in a season.
I could, but what does it say to you?
I don't know. I've been looking at this, and the amount or measure of the crop. Okay, could it mean how much? How much?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a large crop or a small crop? And was that depending on how, you know, how it was planted, and I mean how it was planted, cultivated, water, whether you would have a large crop or a small crop, because it says
that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, think about it. If I plant five seeds, I can't expect to get a harvest that looks the same if I would have planted 100 seeds.
Okay.
Providing that I did the same thing and took care of it in the same way that I took care of the five versus the 100.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it is relevant to when Paul said those who sow sparingly they also reap sparingly, and those who mm-hmm. sow bountifully also will reap bountifully.
Okay.
I mean that drives that home. That makes it relevant. The piece that I'm really dealing with is, or that I'm dealing with, I'm not trying to make anybody else deal with, is there's no shortage of harvest out there.
Mm.
It's a matter of who's doing the reaping and what they're doing with it when they get it.
That's good.
I can tell you that. And maybe this was earlier, but what God revealed to me today, and it's been a busy day, is that the enemy wants you, the enemy wants me, to really believe that there's not enough harvest out there to take care of your needs. Sometimes, and I've been there, I'm looking at my own as if this is the only harvest that's out there. I look in my cupboard as if that's the only cupboard out there. I look in my own cupboard as if there is no more cupboards in any other house along my street. I look at my church as if what we're doing is the best that we can do because that's just what we have going on in our church. But if we're wise, we'll realize that God really wants you, he wants me, he wants all of us to think and believe opposite of what the enemy is trying to get us to believe. The enemy is the one who wants us to think. The enemy is the one who wants us to believe that there's not enough harvest to go around. There's not enough harvest to go around in our community. The enemy wants us to believe. The enemy wants us to settle on the lie that the harvest is few based upon what some of us are only able to see, based upon what some of us are only able to see in our communities, based upon what other individuals put out there to help us to ignore certain things, based upon what some individuals will have us believing, based upon things that they're dismissing. To some folks, this is not important right now, what we're talking about. But it is to God.
Good.
There's no shortage of harvest. It's a matter of who's doing the reaping and what they're doing with it. You can't tell me that we have people on our planets, and I'll start at Africa, but on our planet that are lacking water. Let me tell you something. You can't tell me that because when I see the movie American Sniper that grossed, what was it, like $42 million over one weekend? You know how successful a mission can be in some other countries with $42 million? But you know what? I can't be mad at them, Mama. I can't be mad at them, Adia. Can't be mad at them. Because unless we say enough is enough, unless we say it, I'm not speaking against capitalism. I'm not speaking against all the people who earned a living from what went into those movies. I'm not speaking against the story that needed to be told. I'm not doing all of that. But what I'm saying is there is no shortage of harvest. It's what we choose to do with what we got. And the reality is some of what some of us got, and I'm not trying to speak correct English, some of what some of us got is only because of what other folks have given us. Only because of what some folk have given us. Only because of certain things that are generational. Don't you know how much work it takes into helping somebody to transform their thinking? Mama, you know. Adia, you know. How long we've been on radio? Several years now?
Yes.
It's not an easy task. I get pastors that say when I send out the text, one just sent me one. I know he's not listening, so it don't matter. Please take me off your list. Won't even come to even see what's going on, but yet you want me to come to your church. Really, dude? Are you serious? You won't, don't have a problem with me coming to church on Sunday and sowing something into that when offering time comes, probably with the beatdown scripture, 2 Corinthians 9. But when there's other stuff going on that is not within the mindset of certain individuals, can't see it. And I'm going to tell you who the people are suffering. The people that are suffering right now are the people that are reaping what they've sown and are hearing that one voice that just ain't getting it from them. So what do? They go somewhere else. Let me tell you, let me give you an example of sowing into yourself. I told you that there are two churches close by in my community that have said we want PRF ministry here. And so we are elated here at the PRF ministry. We are elated, that God has opened up those doors, all within his right timing. So working with the pastor, we went to the church. 82 people filled out the surveys that we have, the financial ministry needs assessment, so that we can find out what is it that we can do to help them. And let me share something with you. There was one question that I asked. Let me find one. There was one question that I asked on the assessment, because this was a food bank that we were at. And so it's not a congregational form, because I have a congregational form, but I have one also for the local community. So in this instance, the food bank, the people who come to the food bank are not the ones who attend that church, but they're people who come from outside in the community. And the last question that I have on that financial ministry needs assessment is this. Are you a member or are you affiliated with a religious organization? Now, think about what I just said about the pastor. That's where he's at. He got his own reason. It ain't even reason for us to even have a conversation about it, because I know who I'm dealing with him. But so many people answered yes to that. That's not a bad thing, is it? But here's what's bad. Here's the thing about sowing into self. The other question that I asked was, are you interested in participating in some financial management classes or training, something to that nature? Let me tell you, out of all the people who said, no, I don't belong to a church, more people who belong to a church said they're not interested at all. Are you kidding me? Let me tell you why a lot of them probably said that. Because one, they're ashamed. Two, they don't want their pastor to know that they're going outside of the house to get some assistance from someplace else. Something has to change. Maybe y'all can work on the ones that need help in y'all community, but I'm telling you, this is some ridiculous stuff that's going on. If there is no unity between us as ministers and pastors, yeah, the people are going to continue to reap what they've sown. But hold on, let's back up for a minute. A lot of it ain't what they've sown. It's what we've sown into them. that scripture in 2 Corinthians 9, Mama.
Yes.
That ain't because somebody picked up the Bible. Y'all mindset of what y'all were talking when I read that last week, y'all mindset was not based upon y'all picking up the Bible, saying, Lord, show me something in your word, and you opening it up and going to 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7 and having a mindset that only time I hear this is during offering. That's something that somebody else sown into you. The harvest, y'all, there's no shortage. It is strictly a matter of who's doing the reaping and what they're doing with it. Last month, I spoke at a place, and I may have mentioned this, I don't know, but let me tell you how this thing really is supposed to be working. I was talking to this group about PRF, and a lady said, I've heard about this Financial Peace University. I don't know. Maybe I said this last month, too. I heard about this thing called Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey, and I'm trying to find a church that has that. This was right after explaining what PRF is about just a little bit and that PRF was coming to this particular area. I didn't say, well, you need to come and get the PRF ministry. I said, well, there's plenty of churches that are doing Dave Ramsey's, and Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University works for those individuals who it works for. But our program and this model that God gave me is different. But if you want to know where to go, I will show you. Because I don't have to have it all. It doesn't have to all come to me. The reality is, if 10,000 people right now said, bam, I need PRF, we're going to be hurting. If 1,000 people said, I want PRF, I'm ready to get started right now, we probably going to be hurting. The Lord is going to have to do some miraculous things because I can't, for one, be at all the places at one time. Adia has a job. Satara has a job. Brother Fisa can't just get on a plane and come back from South Korea. But if we work together, that's when stuff works. We have a caller that, I don't know if I sparked something in somebody or if it was a deal or mama, but caller with the last four, 7206, welcome to the PRF table.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right.
What's going on, Reverend Bishop? I'm calling you by name, Reverend Bishop.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Oh, just
we're
just
good, brother.
Excited.
Right, I was just sitting here listening, you know, and there are a couple of things that I want to point out. In reference to your survey and what the majority of the people that say that they are member or affiliated with the church said no, they wouldn't be interested. A lot of times people feel that they're compelled to join that organization rather than stay where they are. But I was just sitting here thinking, you know, in this area that we're in, Brother Dunlap, we're getting ready to face a major rift on one of some of the biggest income in this area, you know.
That's right.
And I was thinking, yeah, your program is definitely going to be needed, you know. But what I'm finding is this, because of the 10 years that I've pastored, a lot of pastors are making the members sow into the church rather than the church sowing into the members. And what I mean by this is that they're paying their tithes, they're giving their offerings. What are they getting in return? And a lot of preachers, they preach give, sacrifice, give to the church, give to the church. At some point, the pastor needs to realize it's time for the church to give back.
Brother, let me respond to this, to what you just said. I mentioned the pastor who just said, take me off this list, right? And he said it before, you know. I haven't sent out text in a while. In my office right now, where I sit, on the bookcase or whatever this thing is called, on the desk, I have a note from this brother who, after doing the same thing, take me off the list, I said, let me call you and let me see what's in his mind, you know, because he hasn't been saying it. So what makes him say it right now? And I had a conversation with him, and I wrote the date. You know how good I am with sticky notes. On January the 5th.
Yes, sir.
This was, y'all know how I am with sticky notes. And I put it up here because in our conversation, I found out from talking to him that there was some other stuff going on. And so after I was able to help peel back the onion and we were able to go from a conversation to a dialogue, one of the things he said before we got the phone, he said, when you have stuff, he said, when you have some things going on, Brother Dunlap, let me know. How you want me to let you know? Take my email address, such and such and such at whatever. He said, when he's not preaching, he's trying to be in school because he has to stay fresh. I wrote this down, fresh thoughts, because that's what he said. He's looking for fresh thoughts to make sure he can deal and help the people of his congregation. And he said there's a lot of people that are hurt in his church. So he was in the, I wrote that down, hurt in church. And the third thing I had on this note is, he wants to use what we talk about as a springboard for growth. Now, if you're not willing to listen to anything, how in the H-E-C-K are you going to grow? Nothing grows. Christianity is not like biology. You can't grow it in a petri dish. We grow through relationships. So what you're talking about, Brother Bishop, is yes, there is a mindset, but I would even take it one step further. Here's what I really wish I could know. Why did the person say they're not interested at all? Here's the choices that they had on this assessment form. Not interested at all, interested, very interested. So you got more people. I'm going to tell you what we got. We got more people that are very interested and interested that say they don't affiliate or are not a member with the church than we do for the people who are in the church. Something is wrong with that picture. Now, I'm not being condemning to anybody who was there. I'm just saying there's something wrong, and it has to be addressed. I hope this convicts some pastors. You know what? Because the truth of the matter, Brother Bishop, and we've had plenty of conversations about this. They can't do it themselves. If they do it themselves, then all those people who said, I'm a member of a church or religious organization and I'm not interested at all, wouldn't be able to get help back where they were.
A plant can't grow without nutrition, yeah, without being nourished. Mm-hmm. A soul can't grow without being nourished. It has to be fed. Now, because they're saying, well, no, I'm not interested at all. And you keyed on something where you said, well, maybe they are ashamed, or maybe they don't want to get back to their pastors, that they're out in the community seeking help.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. Shame on the pastor. Because they shouldn't have had to go elsewhere. When a pastor pastors, and when he gives back to the congregation, when he gives back to his members. You know, it's like the shepherd. The shepherd doesn't eat the grass, but he takes the sheep to green pastures. But he's always looking for something refreshing for them, something that's going to help them grow. No, he doesn't eat the grass himself, but he makes sure, and he stands guard while they're eating. And because these people are having to go outside of the church, the pastor's not standing guard. Because if he was standing guard like he should have been, he would have known that his sheep were going astray. They had to seek green pastures elsewhere because they couldn't get it from that shepherd. What you have and what God has blessed you with is an awesome, awesome tool. And trust me, between now and the end of this year, your tool is going to come into play in this area so big until you're not going to be able to hold it, to have the overflow that God's going to send your way. So I guess I have to use my friend T.D. Jakes. Get ready, get ready, get ready.
Can I read y'all something from Matthew 13?
Yes.
Jesus says this. This is like right before he talks about, this is in the parable dealing with the story of the wheat and the weeds. or the tares among the wheat. But in verse 30, he says, and this is, let both of them grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds and burn them and put the wheat into the barn. Sometimes we just have to, and it's hard, bro. It's hard knowing what's coming to this community.
Yes.
See, I can tell you, we're at a military base community. And if you've ever been around a military base, regardless of what it is, if the military base is, let's take it here. If a military base picks up and leaves your community, myself, Brother Bishop, Mama,
yes.
If Camp Lejeune decides to close down and go to Paris Island, you have every last one of us, Adia, Brother Feaster, Shatara, we all know that it is going to so hurt the economy in that community. It ain't going to just hurt it right outside the gate. It's going to hurt it for miles outside the gate. And I remember being in a church that I was teaching at last year for several months. And I said to them, this was a hurting church, and I said to them, listen, people, God has already shown me this. This place is about to be busting at the seams. But you have to be in position, because when these people come, when the people come being unemployed, when they come, when they're single parents, when they come and they're underemployed, when they come and they're got jacked up credit, when they come, I promise you, telling them to go pray about it, I promise you, telling them that it's going to be all right, you can only give somebody so much encouragement without giving them substance for their soul. It only goes but so far. Let me paint a picture for you. Would you go to Africa in some of our populated countries where you see those commercials on TV, would you go over there and you encourage the children with the word of God? Or would your heart be moved to compassion to put some food in their stomach? We're talking about sowing and reaping, right? So, yeah,
yes.
Somebody may be there to sow. Another person may be there to water. But let me help you understand. If everybody goes over, it's just giving the sowing and nobody's watering, then what is really going on? You got more people being dead, more people being put in body bags, more funerals because people are going to die. So what I'm talking about, what God has given us, you got people that are dying out here. Maybe 2 years ago, what I said when we were talking, when the government shutdown came, we talked about planning on this show. We said, look, does God need to allow something like that to happen again? Now, that has happened across the country. Does that need to happen again for us to get our head out of our butt and say, let me put aside my difference with the pastor down the street? Let me stop trying to be the only bubble in the on the water. Let me communicate with this other minister. Let me communicate with this layperson that God has anointed that don't have REV in front of their name or DR in front of their name so they can come in here and help us. It's coming. It's coming.
Like a freight train.
And when it comes, and my heart is already broken because I already see it coming. We've been talking about this for a good little while. Ain't no way in the world when November get here, if the plans happen like they happen, like they're being talked about, bruh, that we're going to be able to just keep telling people, well, the Lord will supply all your needs. When the food, when the numbers at the food bank increase, not just at the one where I have the blessing opportunity to serve, but others in this community. Some of the ignorance, bruh, it has to stop. One of my tasks before I get into, and I'm caller with the last four, 5087, I'm coming to you next. But one of my tasks before next month is to find out where every food bank is in our community. One of the things that I hope I don't find is that you have food banks on the same day. In days where we don't have any at all. Because I'm going to tell you, I will go to both of those pastors or those organizations and say, look, you have yours on the second Sunday. This other one has it on the second Sunday. We got another one in another part of the city on the first Sunday. We got another one on there for the fourth Sunday. Nobody's getting any help on the third Sunday. Which one of y'all are going to make a change? Because if it's about feeding the people, then that means you don't want anybody hungry. I'm going to shut up. Caller with the last four, 5087. Welcome to the PRF table.
Good evening, Brother Knight. This is Eva Gunnings in Mooresville, North Carolina. And I'm sorry I missed the first session of Sowing and Reaping, but I've just been listening tonight and wanted to encourage you because to be a sower, you have to be ambitious. And you have to have whatever your product is that you're sowing, you have to see it as an excellent seed. And there has to be an excellent opportunity. You have to have an excellent story to tell. Because we know, just like this passage of scripture that we've been reading in Matthew, that the birds are going to get some of the seed. And you got two options. Mm-hmm. You can chase the birds or you can keep on sowing. Hot weather is going to get some of the seed. But we can't worry about that. We have to discipline ourselves for these disappointments. The thorns are going to get some of the seed. The seeds are going to fall on fertile ground, and then they're going to not go fall on fertile ground. But we have to know that in our sowing, that if we continue to stay where we've been called and placed, and we know that our product is excellent product, that we will reap it. I just want to share a little scenario of something that happened here. My husband and I have a little garden every year, but we did not plant a watermelon that grew up in the outskirts of our patio. We assumed that it came from eating watermelon the year before, spitting them out, and it just came up. So I normally just weed out that part and tear out things and that I feel are not part of it. But for some reason, God said, leave it. Let's see what it's going to do. And so we left it. We did nothing to encourage it to grow other than watering it while we watered everything else around it. It grew and it grew and it grew. It grew so much so that there was an overflow. I took pictures of watermelons that were so huge. It was just miraculous to see that watermelon vine perform by itself without any assistance, any help at all. And it was a lesson. It was a lesson to us as my husband and I looked at it, what God can do without our help. He really doesn't need us to do much of anything. He can do what he wants to do, and it'll be such a miraculous overflowing abundance of things until we just don't know how it took place. And I just wanted to share that with you because we kept the pictures of it. We could not understand it, and we felt like it was there for us to gain some faith about the situations we were going through. And I just wanted to encourage you along that line that once you plant it, don't worry about it. It's going to grow. And just don't get disappointed. Keep spreading it, and it will. You'll see some reaping in the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Gunnings. And that, and let me say this, I'll say this for everybody. What you hear from me, what you feel from me, is not that I have any doubt about PRF. What you hear from me is, just like the prophets of old, they sounded the alarm. They sounded the alarm. They sounded the alarm. And I'm just human. When I see people going down a path that they don't have to go down, or they have the ability not to go down, when you have the ability not to go down the tracks when a train is coming, my heart says, get off the track. Not get off track, but get off the track. Because that track specifically, if you go down, there's a train coming. And in this community, we are getting warned. There's a train coming. See, I think it's probably been about a year and some change, or maybe 2 years from ago. You've heard me talk about that those 426 people that walked in. They didn't get a warning that the train is coming down the track. The train just hit them. So sometimes the train is just going to hit folks without them having any type of warning. So we saw that in this community. Man, that was, and I say this, 426 people. Can I tell you how many churches we got in this area? So there really was no reason where anybody should have lacked with the amount of money that goes into the banks in this community. Maybe y'all's are different, but to the banks in this community, there's no reason in the world why there should have been lack. There's no reason in the world why people should not have, should, why people did not understand the unemployment filing process. While some folk wasn't encouraged, well, they're just taking a little bit longer. But while they're waiting for that to come through, which they knew they were going to get, what else was there? And then after they opened the place back up in a couple of months, everybody sitting around here acting like everything is doggone freaking okay. They got their job back. Are you serious? I know I'm not the only person seeing this. I may be one of few that are speaking about it, but I know a whole bunch more people see it. Because the reality is, when those 426 people got walked out, got told, y'all got to leave, when they went to work, came to work that morning, how many of you think didn't have a savings saved up? How many of you think were living paycheck to paycheck? How many people actually bounced back over those couple of months that they were out of work? How many people's credits took a hit? So I say this to those of us who have a responsibility. How dare any of us just act like it's okay? And when I go outside in my community and I go into different churches, I see that there's this laziness that it's okay that certain things are just happening the way that they're happening. We can't control what the federal government is doing. If they decide to close the base, or if they cut 10,000 jobs or 1,000 jobs, we can't control that. We can protest it. We can write our congresspersons. We can write our senators. We can write the president of the United States. We can do some things. But if they do it, let me tell you why this bugs me so much. And I'm spiritually frustrated. That's it. Because they've already done it one time. Let me, Sister Eva, let me tell you a story to bring some more light into this. A friend of mine, who lives 2 hours away, called me up one day and he says, "Hey man, I need you to link up with this person and get this car for me." The person he co-signed for an individual who worked at the base. He co-signed because of the mutual relationship that they had with another person. The person was good. The person had was paying their bills. They didn't have any financial problems. So it was not a bad thing, other than I mean, the word tells us not to be cosigning, because if you, they can't pay, then your bail will be snatched from you in Proverbs. But he did that. Nothing happened until this same type of situation that came up. The situation was this. We're going to furlough a whole bunch of people. I don't know if y'all remember that. Instead of 40 hours a week, you're only going to get, say, for example, 35 hours a week. Mandatory. Well, that affects a lot of folks. Because when you're expecting to make $4,000 this month and you only bring home $3,600 before taxes, then it affects your bottom line. What he tells me is he co-signed for this individual. They got furloughed. While they were furloughed, they were still able to do whatever needed to be done to make sure that the car was paid. But the time that he contacted me was when the person, some of the folks that got furloughed, they wind up getting fired a couple months later. So what he explained to me was she was doing what she needed to do to make sure she was paying even though she was furloughed, which you could probably imagine she was robbing Peter to pay Paul, or she had money that she had saved up that she was able to pull from. But when he contacted me, it had gotten to the point that she could no longer do it. So here I am involved in a repossession of a car. And I'm going to tell you, it was heartbreaking because first the person got their hours cut, and then they lost their job. And now after they lose their job, now they lose their car. And they had a house. So now that they don't have a car, how do they go and find a job? You can say all day long, you apply online, but at some point you may have to get up and go for an interview. So it's this cycle, it's these things that God is allowing to happen in our community that we're seeing. But yet we want to talk about raising money in the church and fish dinners and chicken dinners. That ain't going to help. If the money ain't being put into the storehouse when the people need to go and get a withdrawal. Mama, do you have anything before we... Please do, because I'm done. I'm done.
I'm just feeling that this, you know, it just can't be about me, myself, and I. You know, it has to be about wanting to help. You know, the word says, whatever you put your hands to shall prosper. So, if I see someone, I mean, I remember I had a coat. And this was one of my favorite coats. And this lady, she came into church, she didn't have a coat. It was wintertime and it was cold. She didn't have a coat. And it was just like, you know, people was looking at her and, you know, having what they had to say. But my heart, you know, really went out to her. So after the service and everything, you know, and everybody was, you know, kind to her and whatnot, I asked her, I said, aren't you cold? And she said, yes, ma'am. And I just couldn't help but take off my coat and give it to her. And this is the way God wants us to be. Because he says, if you seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, he said everything would be added to you. And this is kingdom business. We are supposed to be about the Father's business. He's not coming down here giving her a coat when he has all of us, I'm talking about that time, in that church as believers, and we as believers ought to be spokesmen. We're his hands, feet, and eyes, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this need here, and it's just, well, you know, like you said, we'll pray for you. Read your Bible. He says it's the love of God that's within us that would draw all men to me. Now, I could have told her the same thing, but she walks away cold, so she's not thinking about that. this is where she is in her life at this time. She needs to be shown some love, some compassion. And I remember Jesus, he had compassion for people. He didn't care whether they were prostitutes or whatever they were in their lives that he didn't approve of. He went to them and asked them, what can I do for you? Do you want to be healed? He didn't ask, well, what denomination you come from and all the craziness that I've heard over my time. It's, he sees there's a need. Jesus knew it was a need. So he went to them and he asked, you know, what can I do for you? Do you want to be healed? And so we have Jesus, as believers, have Jesus Christ living on the inside of us, and we see someone without a coat. We don't know anything about this lady, but we had clothes up in that church. We were dressing people. So the majority of us had more than one coat. But all she got from some of them, you know, we're going to pray for you, sister, we're going to keep you lifted up in prayer, and she's shivering. But she came there because I believe God led her there. But where was the love shown to her? And I just gave it to her. And she said, thank you. And I wasn't worried about having to go outside in the car. I just had to go outside in the car. I'd be okay. I'm going straight home. She might have left and didn't have no place to go. She might be hungry. Where is the love? And this is what love is. This is what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Where's kindness that was shown? No one had a lot of time. Hi, sister. Glad you came to the church. No patience. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. I get mine, and you get yours the best way you can. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. And love does not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. It always protects. She needed some protection from the cold weather.
And Mom,
always trust, always hopes. Love never fails.
And could it have been also that the person that was ordained to show that type of love was just you? Going back to comments at the beginning of the show, and I know I was really critical because, I speak from a hurting heart, because I know what God is showing me, and it's not always good. Could it have been that you were just the one that was ordained? And going back to the comment at the beginning of the show, sometimes others are not where we're at.
That's true.
To be able to see what we're seeing. Now,
that's true.
The difference between your story that you said, I can't put that on the pastor. What I'm speaking in my context is I'm talking about us. I'm talking about us as pastors and ministers. That's it. I ain't talking about everybody else. I'm talking about all of us who have been given a certain call of shepherding people over our lives.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that group of people right now. That's where we got to come together to do, because you taking care of that is good. And I want to believe that when you did that you sowed something into her life, not just that coat, but you sowed the love of Christ into her. And who's to say what that woman took with that and how many people are reaping that harvest because of something that she's done for some other thing, for other people.
And thought about it.
So there's, and that's why I mentioned thoughts for the minister and thoughts for the individual, or thoughts for the member, because some of us have a different responsibility in the eyes of God.
Okay.
And we can't be all crazy acting like I can't act like certain things are your responsibility as a member and just try to say, well, this is just a Christian thing. No. Mm-mm. We can't even allow that type of foolishness to even come out our mouths. As a minister, as a pastor, as a deacon, as an elder, we have certain responsibilities. Certain responsibilities. We have to go and do what God wants us to do. We have to look at what are the things that are a priority right now. Paying your church mortgage, dude, if that's your priority over the people who can't pay their doggone mortgage, something is wrong. If paying the church mortgage is the priority over the people that's about to get evicted from their apartment, something is wrong. Something is wrong. We're talking about Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're talking about transforming thinking, transforming minds. Because if we're willing to allow our minds to be transformed, trust me, all of us here at the PRF table, it is a transforming experience for us. Because the DSS stuff that I'm like, I don't see it like that. And I say stuff that Mama may say, I don't see it like that. Or Brother Feaster say something, we. So for all of us to sit down, and he's not with us tonight, so whenever you go back and listen to the archive, I think he may have another class today. But when we all can come together as we do, and we sit down at the table and know that everybody is not just all singing the same song, because God wired us a little bit different, but the place where we're going, the thing that we're trying to do, we all have that same common ground in place, then we're making some progress. And we're showing as an example to other folks. So doggone it, if I can change my mindset about some things, then I just believe that other folks can too, and they should. It's a little bit difficult, though, when I want them to change their mindset right now, and they're not ready to change. So then I say, if you're not willing to change as the pastor, if you're not willing to change as the minister, if you're not willing to change as that person who has a responsibility and a calling by God to help people, if you're not willing, don't hinder them. Allow somebody else to sow into them. Here's the last thing I think I'm going to say for tonight. If the principle of sowing and reaping is used as a tool of manipulation by being placed strictly into the context of giving money, I pray that God gives you wisdom and gives it to you quickly. Wisdom not just not to give it, but not to sow it there at that place. And that's a bold statement, and it's a bold prayer. Because why would God want you to sow into something as a thing of manipulation? If manipulation is used, then that means that that's not God doing it. But God will allow it to happen if you're not willing to seek his wisdom, if you're not willing to say, okay, God, show me what's going on here. And the second thing is, if the principle of sowing and reaping, if it is or it has been or if it will be used as a tool of manipulation by being placed in that same type of context by any of us who are religious leaders or to those things that God did not ordain, I pray that God quickly reveal it to you so that you can respond accordingly. Every time, just because a man or woman of God says that we need to build a building, we need to go from this quote-unquote storefront and to start breaking ground into our own building, just because it is said doesn't mean that God ordained it. And if you go and you look and see how many churches were not able to pay their bills because they overextended themselves, what example does that give to the people? I'm telling you, people, be careful, be cautious, ask God to reveal to you what God needs to reveal to you. because there are so many things that are going on that are not of God. And I'm not talking that about that I don't understand, that are not of God. I don't have to name it all, but there are some things that are going on that are not of God. So you need to be wise. You need to understand the difference between sowing and reaping. You need to understand that you're not always going to reap what you sow. You need to understand that you're not going to reap, that you're going to reap what other people have sown. You need to understand that there's no shortage of a harvest. It's just about what people are doing with the harvest when they reap. You need to understand that Jesus' parables about sowing and reaping were about spiritual wealth first, not about material wealth. So if that's what's being brought to you about material wealth, if that's the first thing, then that means they're not trying to give you a biblical understanding. There must be an expectation with growth. If not, what's the purpose of planting the seeds in the first place? Mama, I think we're done for tonight.
Yes.
All you who are listening, oh, my goodness. Thank you for letting us get this off of our chest, or maybe I say getting this off my chest. Reverend Bishop decided to come, and then he decided to go ahead and leave. I was like, where Brother Bishop gone? He just said what he had to say, and he went and left. So I'm sure we'll have some conversations afterwards. Let me go here and mention this, because I did want us to make sure that people understood we're talking about harvest. We're talking about, look, dealing with sowing into others. I think if we had to say which one of the three overarching things we were dealing with tonight, it's about sowing into others. And when we sow into others, there's two perspectives that you can look from or that you can see. One of them is sowing into others, those of us who are ministers or religious leaders, and then sowing into others as individuals. In Acts chapter 2, we read that there was sowing from the apostles into the people. And then we read right back after that how the people sowed into each other. That's what PRF is like. That's what the church is supposed to look like. Let's not get caught up on the stuff that is not doing things that God would be pleased with. Let's not get caught up on those things that people are putting out there that are just manipulating and using to get you to just do something that's going to benefit them. You know why it's easy for somebody to constantly tell some of you, so, because that means let me say it right. If I'm constantly talking to you about sowing into this ministry, especially when there's some challenges coming up, or because a person didn't use the finances in the correct way, because they overextended themselves. You know what it does? It takes them from a place of having to rely on God and have faith in God and trust in God. So I got to get you to do that. Sometimes the things that have been sown are reaping a harvest that is not plentiful. Think about credit. Person doesn't pay their medical bills. It goes on their credit. To just want that to just go away? Come on now. So we can't do that with the other things going on, whether it's the church house or whether it's your individual house. There's a process. Part of the definition, one of the definitions of a harvest is the act or process of gathering a crop. And Mama, you touched on the thing about the measure or the amount.
Yes.
I'm trying to get off the air, but it's hard. It's rough. So let me just say this: thank you for everybody who's been with us, been listening. We'll be back again next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're just going to really just try to continue tackling this topic of sowing and reaping. One of the things that I really want us to really look at is something that has come up over these last couple of shows, and I think we're going to just continue dealing with harvesting a little bit more. especially with that question that I asked, what's the link between sowing and reaping? It's the harvest. And the harvest is the product. Reaping is gathering up the product. But what about cultivation? What about preparation? What about timing? What about patience? These are some things that has been brought up from last week and also this week. So maybe we need to deal with some practical things next week, Mama. Next week, Adia, we'll really focus on, you know, specific situations and how can we cultivate those things that which we sow and take it from that perspective. If I'm sowing into myself, what do I need to do to cultivate that? It doesn't help to the degree that it could help for me just to take $100 and sow that into myself and not continue to sow anything and think that $100 is going to turn into a million. So that when I get to retirement age, to think that $100, just because I sowed it one time, is going to grow to a point where when Social Security, you have to work until you're 70, 15, 20 years from now, because that's where it's heading, that's where the trend is going, that I'm not able to take care of myself, or a person is not able to take care of themselves? Mm-mm. So let's deal with that, unless God gives us something different. And I think next week we'll be able to wrap up, you know, sowing into ourselves and also sowing into others by just dealing with cultivating preparation, patience, and time. And that'll be the third week, and we have one more week after that where I say we're going to wrap it up and talk specifically about maybe sowing into the things of God. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Mama, it's been a great show.
It's been
a great show. A lot of things have been said.
Good things.
We pray that God is pleased with us, and we ask God to just heal these hurting hearts for the people that are in my community and yours.
Yes.
And right now what we need to do is be at a place of rebuilding. So I haven't played a song at the end of the show in a while, and Adia mentioned Rebuild by Jay Moss, so I think that's how we're going to go out tonight. So join us, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, next Thursday and every Thursday here at the PRF table. We're talking about sowing and reaping. This is part two. On behalf of all of us here at the PRF table, we just want to say God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful evening. And let's look to rebuild.
Sometimes I'm cold. Sometimes I'm hot. Sometimes I'm prayerful. And other times I'm not. Sometimes I feel like giving up, yeah. Sometimes my faith feels used up. And every time I get in a bind, I know you're there. For the damaged, rebuild me. For the bruised.